Welcome to the Kingdom Educators Podcast, where we empower Christian teachers to grab a hold of heaven's hope-filled perspective so you can activate transformational impact in your classroom and community. I'm your host, Jessica Glover, and I warmly welcome you to wake up to your strategic placement as a Kingdom Educator, anointed by the Creator and equipped by all of heaven to release the radical goodness of God that will transform lives and reshape education. Many of you have come to me to ask about teacher rights, some of you in person, and some have written me emails, but I thought it would be really neat to have someone from TPUSA, and we'll get into that in just a second, share with you information, because last year, as I alluded to in one of my posts, we've had a lot of breakthrough when it comes to our rights in terms of sharing about our faith. And so I'm excited to introduce Tony to you this morning. So welcome, Tony.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here. And I was really excited about the opportunity to be able just to talk about TPUSA, faith and what we do, and then some of the things that are going on. So TPUSA Faith is a division of Turning Point with Charlie Kirk. The basis of our work involves informing, educating, and then engaging Christians, whether pastors, individuals in church, teachers, whoever, to really make a stand in their faith and not compromise who they are as a world tries to intimidate us to shut down and to stop and to quit. And so we offer a number of courses and resources directed in that fashion to just kind of have, number one, biblical citizens, but also people having courage. And you know what I mean? Whatever their sphere of influence is, being courageous in their faith.
Yeah.
So, you know, that takes us all over. I have a 4-state region, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska. I do a lot of traveling, meet a lot of people, talk to a lot of people, teachers, administrators included. And so there's a lot going on. And, you know, there are two things. One, there are some resources that aren't complete yet that TPUSA Faith is working on. Mm-hmm. But then there is something that just happened. And I just got information on this today. And, you know, we've got a couple, two, three different groups of teachers. We've got Christian teachers that are working in the public school system. Mm-hmm. We have Christian teachers, obviously, they're working in their private school setting. And then we have a group that are saying, hey, let's do something new. And what has happened is the door to private school through churches is opening up, and it's becoming another means to educate our children and to see them grow up knowing our values and our principles versus being in the public setting where they're trying to tear that all down. Mm-hmm. So I had written a note, Turning Point Academy, and in fact, right now they're sitting with 20 school planners. And they're looking to expand and grow. And so there's information on that that can go to the pastor, and then they can work on, if they, you know, want, you know, that option to work on that within the church setting and have a school there where their kids can grow up learning truth and reality versus some of the things that's being taught in the public school setting.
That's awesome.
Private schools. My youngest went to private school. We homeschooled a number of years.
Okay.
Which is also another option that's coming about.
Yeah.
Especially since the supposed pandemic, whatever. But homeschooling is huge. It's growing. It's no longer taboo. But also, too, the alternative to have the capacity to not only teach in public school, private school, but then now teach through a school that's been developed in the church itself.
That's good. There's been all these new options that have arisen. And some of the people that are following me, Tony, they have switched from public to private. Some of them are still standing where they're supposed to be. And my encouragement to them is just listen to the Spirit of God. Where are you supposed to be for this season? And I know even with our kids, we're even asking that at home at our house. Lord, how long are we supposed to be at these schools? We're ready to move when you call us to, but we want to also trust you in what we're called to. And so I just think that's such a good, like, knowing your lane, know where you're supposed to be.
And God calls people to different settings, you know?
Right, right.
My wife's an RN and has been for quite a long time. And she works in the infirmary in the prisons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Langston Correctional Facility. And not an invite. It's a madhouse in there. If you were to hear some of the things that go on there, it's absolutely crazy. It's insane. And
oh, I bet.
With individuals. But she feels called to that. And I'm saying that, just drawing a parallel. The teachers feel called to certain settings, and that's where they can do the Lord's work in those settings. Whether it's public, private, co-op of some sort, or again, they're developing a schools within churches now. So,
yeah, I know that I've asked you for some help researching a question that many of us have been asking, and it's what laws actually changed when it comes to what we can and we can't do in public school as Christian teachers. And some of us probably are going to private school that isn't necessarily like a Christian private school too. We've got classical schools out there. There's all sorts of different models that we have, but we've got believers stationed in different areas. And so I'd love you to speak a little bit about the laws that have changed recently.
Let me do this first.
Yeah.
You may have this resource. It's called The Teacher's Guide to Religion in the Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good information as into what you can actually do and what you can't do and how to handle those things. It's a great resource.
And that one's by Liberty First, right?
This is by First Amendment.
First Amendment. Okay.
Really good. It's solid. In regards to law, I served in the state legislature. I was the representative for the 41st District, which is Leavenworth. And I actually sat on the education committee. And real interesting, one of the things that we were able to do, and I was on the forefront of this, when Common Core was a daily, you heard it all the time. You heard Common Core, which you don't really hear much of anymore. I don't think it's way, but it's not talked about. We were actually able to get it out of committee. I was able to get these guys to do that for the first time, get it out of committee to the floor. It failed on the floor, but we were actually able to get it out of committee. People begin to understand what it was really all about and the destructive nature of Common Core. But it failed on the floor. We didn't get enough support for it. But that was probably one of the, for me, a defining moment when I looked at education and I'm going, boy, there's some real issues. My kids were homeschooled at the time. Mm-hmm. And so we were out of the public school setting for a number of reasons, namely, you know, the values that they're trying to teach in public school conflict with my own and one of my kids to grow up with. We're all And one of the groups we also worked with was the Alliance Defending Freedom. And we talked about the laws that are changing. There's some really interesting things that have happened that they're a part of. And we worked with them while I was in the House, and they are passionate about teachers and teachers' rights and dealing specifically with the First Amendment and what they say, what they can't say. But I just want to deal with these if I can here. School tells Christian teacher to put her beliefs aside. And what they basically did to this lady, her name is Vivian Gergity, is tell her that she would have to use the pronouns to approach her children. If they asked, the kids in the class asked, she would have to call them by whatever pronoun or whatever gender they're saying. And she said, no, that goes against my beliefs. And I don't want to do that. I'm a Christian. I'm paraphrasing here. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is she went into a meeting. One of the board members came in with the principal and they basically fired her, sent her home.
Wow.
This one is before the courts right now. I think waiting for a date for the hearing to take place. And this is the latest one. But all of these all stem from First Amendment rights that we have. And it's the issue here is the establishment of religion, which they're not doing. They're just living out their beliefs in the classroom and not wanting to compromise. And I say this again later. Compromise is part of the problem here when it comes to who we are and what we believe, whether in the school setting or whatever else. We can't compromise. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about these different teachers is that they didn't. And their cases actually are going to the Supreme Court of the United States and they're winning.
Awesome.
It really is.
Now, Tony, I want to back up a little bit because a lot of our people don't know about how the Lemon Law was broken last year, which opened up the door for more freedom in the classroom. Did these cases come are they being thrust forward more easily into the Supreme Court because Lemon was broken, or did they get in another way? I'm just curious.
It may be both. And I don't think it really states that it was that in particular. But there is this place where the challenge has been to the First Amendment and the First Amendment rights of Christian teachers in the public school setting. They're being forced to set what they believe, their beliefs aside when they walk in the public school setting. But that's not what they have to do. They don't have to. It doesn't matter what setting you're in. And in public school, you're a Christian. You're a Christian in the public school system. And you can still function out of what it is you believe. So the challenge has been to the First Amendment. And here's another one. In Virginia Supreme Court issued on Monday, affirming a lower court's decision. And this was to reinstate this teacher who was, again, being forced to address students by their gender that they said. You know, I say that I'm this. And and he said, no, I'm not doing that. Went to the Supreme Court and they won. And these are Alliance freedom cases.
And who pays for these? Like, if so, I know I have teachers that are like, okay, if I say no, then what happens from there? Do you know?
The Alliance Defending Freedom, as far as I know, there's not a charge okay. for them. These are cases that they take. I've called them probably 3-4 times on issues, and they evaluate the case. If it's something that they can do, they'll do it. And it's just like that. As far as I know, there's not a fee, because you're right. And I think that's part of the squeeze is to say, well, if you take this to court, you're right. going to end up paying millions of dollars for this and you can't afford
yeah.
it. So let it go. And they work with the individual, the teacher or whoever you, they work with them on that. And there's, I believe there isn't a charge to them if they take the case. I think they're funded
okay.
Separately. So there's one in Christian school. This one is about how a Christian college actually partnered with an elementary school to do some teaching. And the school district said no because of their position on marriage and gender. Well, it's gone to uh-huh. court. ADF has taken it court. And they have won their wow. case. And so, yeah, another challenge uh-huh. to ADF is really good. They really are when it comes to things like this. They are just so sharp. And it's not just they have other cases that they work on. This is strictly okay. Dealing with the school system.
So, Tony, if someone had if I have a teacher that hears our broadcast and they have something come up where they are facing the pronouns, then they could contact yes. Alliance for Defending Freedom. ADF, they would help them move forward.
I would encourage
them. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're winning. And see, that's the thing. That's the beauty of it is they're winning these cases and the teachers mm-hmm. able to go back and be themselves. Mm-hmm. So there was just not a lot of options out there. And if you were to go against the school and you're wanting to take the case to court, then it would be something that you would have to take out of your pocket. And again, teachers, individuals, you know, in a whole aren't making a, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of money where they can go ahead and do that. And so Alliance Defending Freedom is a supporter of teachers, and they are doing a phenomenal job in getting some of these grievances taken care of. It's wonderful. I'm just so happy to see that happen. The football player.
Coach Kennedy.
The coach that was yeah. playing on the field won his case. And it was Alliance Defending Freedom that supported him in that.
I heard also, because I watched a little video on his case, actually was the one that got used where it opened up for the Lemon Law to be broken. Just for people who haven't heard about the Lemon Law, what that even is, I'm going to explain in a super simple term, and maybe Tony will jump in and explain more. But basically, there's been a law since 1971. And what happened is there was an arbitrary decision that was made by the Supreme Court that any way that religion was displayed throughout our nation would be removed. So that was like the prayer in schools. That was the display of the Ten Commandments in any form or fashion. So think of your park with a display of the Ten Commandments, a cross of any form. Like, I think I've even seen things in the news in the past few years about our cross is okay at Arlington, even at the cemetery. Silly stuff like that. So basically, Lemon said, this is ridiculous. Why is this even an issue? It's okay to now have a Bible at school on your desk. It is okay to display the Ten Commandments. I know here in Kansas, we have an organization called Culture Shield. She is very much about reminding us that we have rights to have, like, In God We Trust posters in our classrooms, in our businesses, like anywhere that you're working in a public space, you have the right. Plus, there's a governmental agreement that you can do that. But it's these little things that have crept in. And so some of us, we were born way after 1971, and we've got even younger teachers than that, you know, who are coming in. And we've never experienced, even as students in a public school, having the right to express freedom of religion. And so being kids are allowed to share their faith. You are allowed to answer questions. You're allowed to pray at lunchtime, before school, after school. You can participate, even meet you at the poll. This is my understanding. You can go to those as long as you've got your work prepared for the day and it's not infringing on your being with your students when they're in your classroom. You are allowed to host Bible studies, because I know I was told at my first middle school, I was not allowed to do that. That's actually infringing on my rights. It was back then too. And so you have a lot more freedom than is recognized. In fact, Liberty Council has a new, I think it's even in this one, the Patriots Handbook for religious freedom in public schools, there is a new thing due to the Lemon Law being broken where you can say my curriculum or an activity that your school is forcing you to do. It could even have to do with what Tony's saying about the pronouns. I disagree it because it comes against my faith beliefs. You actually can be excused from that activity. You have to go through a process of writing an email and make sure that your principal gets it right away. But they're not supposed to make you do things you would not want your name attached to, which is huge.
Really is. And you know, for teachers that don't know, that struggle with that because they don't know what they don't know. But there are more rights that you have as a teacher in a public school setting and in any school setting than what you may think. And I find this is years ago, we actually put Bible studies in the schools in Leavenworth, the middle schools and the high schools. And in fact, I had elementary school want the same thing. And as long as they sponsored, you know, there was a sponsor for that, as long as it's student initiated, you can still participate. And as long as the teacher is not trying to convert anyone to Christianity, then you're right. Because of that, the Lemon Law, you can say and do as long as you're not attempting to, you know, win somebody to the Lord in that public school setting.
That's so good. Is there any other legislative pieces, Tony, that would help us to know more about our freedoms in the schools?
When it comes to legislation, I don't have anything new. What I'll do is I have a couple of legislators that are friends that I will find out anything in regards to something, the latest, if there is any. I've not seen any recent legislation come through the Kansas State House on education. Usually, if it is, it's something to do with money, because a lot of times it's finances and the school asking for more money. And that's always a huge issue because schools all really have tons of money. Rainy day funds with millions of dollars. So it's teachers to have to go out and buy their own supplies. And that kind of thing is ridiculous.
I wish we knew that. That would be good.
So, well, you know, it was one of the things that was a surprise to me was just that the amount of money that the schools have, whether it's a slush fund, a rainy day fund, literally millions of dollars set aside. If you can go through and get it, I'll get you the link that you can look at the school district and the schools and know how much money they have there. I had the superintendent of schools here in Leavenworth years ago was telling me that his game plan was to pit the parents and the teachers against each other and sit back and watch to be able to get more financing because the parents are saying, hey, look, the schools, they need more money. The teachers are saying they need more money. But what he's not saying is that they have money. They're set aside in these funds. And again, it's millions of dollars.
Curious, because I always thought this when I was teaching in public school, you have money that is designated to only be spent on certain things, but those things actually didn't need that much money. So the money is actually being caught somewhere. It's not used for what it's needed for, but it's designated for something they actually don't need. Is that?
There is that part of it. There is also, again, this fund where there is literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars just sitting. And so, it was a huge issue for us. And at that time, we were really trying to get the information out because it wasn't something that was being spoken. We happen to know because we were on that committee.
For teachers who would like to know more about what's happening as far as government and legislation for who's on these committees and things, I feel like we don't really know. Tony, if they wanted to get a hold of someone or see what's happening, or who would they contact?
Probably, I would contact my state rep. My state rep should be able to provide that information and kind of guide me to what I'm asking. There is the Legislative Journal, where if you go to the Kansas State House website, you can go through. If you're looking for something, you can find specific bills. It gives a box where you can be generic education, and it'll give you a list of anything that's there. But I would go to my state rep first and then kind of follow up my state senator if I'm not getting an answer. But between the two of them, you should be able to get whatever you're needing.
Because I think sometimes some people just get bogged down by the list of to-dos, and then it's like, who do I contact? I don't even know who to talk to. And so that's good information.
I will tell you this too. Donna LePold, an eye on that kind of stuff too. So there's some networks and some groups that are
like Culture Shield
that can provide information. You might have to do a little homework, but Alliance Defending Freedom, again, the reason I go to them is because they have a group specifically dealing with public school issues. And so they're a good resource when it comes to some of the laws and issues that public school teachers are facing.
Tony, I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to end on a note of encouragement. I know that we've kind of shared a bunch of information, and I want to make sure we leave our teachers with a word of encouragement. What would you leave our listening teachers with today before we close?
You know, I had an opportunity to speak with a public school teacher. I travel within my region, and teacher in Arkansas, a Christian teacher in the public school setting, who was dealing with some of the issues from her students, whether it's the disrespect, which is really huge nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
She brought up the foul language coming out of their mouths. There's no filter there. And being videotaped, no matter where she was at, she felt she was under a microscope. The other thing that stood out, though, is she felt she was all alone. As a Christian teacher in the public school setting, there she had no support because the other teachers in this school were liberal. And so she felt all alone. She was talking about retiring within the next couple of years and really wanting to get out of that environment. There, I'm sure there are teachers, Christian teachers in the public school setting that are struggling. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult environment to be in day after day after day and being challenged and being told you can't involve your values or what you believe in the public school setting. But like we were talking about, they can do more than what the school is saying they allow them to do. So mm-hmm. I have just a couple of things. One, I want to say this, and the scripture Joshua 1:9 comes to mind. Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? It's so important that the teachers mm-hmm. take courage. Even in feeling alone, you're not really alone. And I'm probably preaching to the choir because I know Christian teacher that they take time for the Lord in prayer and just getting filled
yes.
and putting on the armor
yes.
of God. I would encourage them to do that every day. I would encourage everyone to do that every day. But be bold and be courageous. The beauty of some of the cases that I pointed mm-hmm. out is that these teachers were bold. When they were challenged to say, okay, I won't stand for what I believe, I will compromise that, they did not. And I believe when we compromise, we give the enemy a foothold, and we'll never garner that inch that we gave. They're going to take that and more. If they can shut us down, if they can suppress us, they can keep us quiet, mm-hmm. all the better for them. But when we take courage, when we're bold and we say, no, this violates what I believe. I cannot do this or participate mm-hmm. in this because it goes against what I believe. I can't refer to her as a him and him as a her because it violates what I believe, then that's where the difference gets made. And even when, like I said, the teacher coach that mm-hmm. was fired, we regain that when we stand, because these cases are going before courts that are saying, that's a violation of First Amendment rights. You cannot do that. And these schools are having to change what it is that they said. I would just first say, be bold, be courageous, recognize that mm-hmm. God's with you. Wherever mm-hmm. you set your foot, God yeah. is with you. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not like the world's weapons that they fight with, but our weapons are made mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Keep that in mind, too, that we're not fighting as the world fights. Obviously, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're not fighting as the world is fighting. Our weapons have divine power. We have the power of God. You're light mm-hmm. in a dark place. It's salt. And it's so important that they recognize that, for especially the students that are there that are lost. And I don't know how many stories I've heard how school, for example, is the only place that they've gotten food.
Yeah.
Because at home, they're not fed. Or they're struggling because dad isn't in the home, which is probably the biggest part of this. And kids are struggling. You just never know what's going mm-hmm. on in their life. But to be light and salt in expressing the love of Christ in the school setting is so vitally important. And I would encourage, God's called you. He makes a way. He does. And again, not to compromise. And I think that's probably one of the bigger ones, because it's easy, because fear sets in, intimidation mm-hmm. sets in, which are totally not God. But we succumb sometimes because we're afraid. I mean, we need our jobs, you know, because we're putting mm-hmm. food on the table. We've got bills. We want to be paid. But at the same time, when we begin to compromise in little ways, then that opens the door for compromises in big ways. And for all the teachers that are standing up and saying no, there are teachers that have done that, have given in and succumbed. And I know they struggle with that. That's mm-hmm. so discouraging. But even if that's happened, if you've been a teacher that has done that, you know, just go to God and allow God to forgive you. And then there's other opportunities that come up where you can yeah. make a stand. And I just encourage them to do that. And it's not saying that it's easy, but it's what's right and it's what's true and it's mm-hmm. what's reality. And I think in public school setting, like with anywhere else, reality, truth and reality mm-hmm. is so needed. We're dealing with kids that are questioning yeah. their gender. We've got kids that are being told that young ladies having abortions and that information aren't getting to parents, or saying that I'm a girl today, so let's go through the process of or girls saying I'm a boy, go through the process of the genital changes and the puberty blockers and all that kind of stuff that's going on. It's so twisted and it's so perverted. And it's such an environment where we just need light, life, truth.
Yeah. And they get to choose as teachers to provide another way, that there's actually another thought to have. And it's a God thought. Yes. Like, what is his perspective on this? And some of them have never heard it. It's not mainstream. Yeah. And so it's like not the thing they're seeing on social media, or their friends are talking about it, or maybe even anyone in their neighborhood. But like the unpopular opinion sometimes puts a question in, like, oh, there's another way. And so I just encourage Christian teacher that you are providing the other way, and it could help unlock people from being stuck or living a life that's going to, especially for these kids that have gender. I mean, we read story after story about how depressed, and then they go down this, like, even shame, even if they're not a believer, it comes up in a huge way, and they just want to end everything or change back.
You bet. And you're right. Story after story, and on the news and on different programs. And the other thing is this, that I find and I see, and you probably know this, that those voices that are the loudest are the smallest groups. There's only a small percentage, but they seem to be given the biggest platform to voice what it is that they want. So it makes it appear they're far bigger than what they are, and they're really not. So if we maintain our ground and we don't compromise and we challenge that, we begin to see just what's really going on there. And every time, at least what I've been able to see, we're winning in the court. We are winning.
So encouraging.
Be confident and courageous. We're winning. It may not be in the mainstream media. They may not talk about it, but the evidence is
there. That's good. That's really encouraging. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for your time today, Tony. We appreciate it. Teachers, I hope you feel the charge that you are not alone, that you're empowered not only by the law, but by God's word. You are positioned in a place of impact for this season for a reason. And the King is with you, and he's empowering you. And so we just speak blessing and life over you to hold your ground and to be who God has called you to be in that place that you are salt and light. And you're an ambassador of the King, and you wear his signet ring of approval and favor. And so we just speak that over you today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning into this podcast. Please be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends in education so they too can be strengthened and encouraged in living their kingdom identity out loud in this pivotal hour. And please visit kingdomeducators.com to receive your Kingdom Educator Daily Truth Declarations, my encouraging newsletter, and be the first to know about my newest resources, online and in-person events. And be sure to find me on the socials at kingdom.educators. Until next time, don't forget you are a history maker, and what you do every day is transforming lives.